both hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds. They are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day, Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport, you know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL, the college games, they always bringing the knowledge, nobody ever can try to go stop it. Only me talking the truth, only me talking the truth, ayy.
It is Taz and Moose with you as we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Who understands that it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Mike Pete, thank you across the way. Bogish with your updates to 9 a.m. Eastern time. We go as we're already a game in the books, week three of the National Football League, Taz, as the Jaguars victorious last night over the Titans 20-7. And, you know, maybe while you were sleeping, maybe it just arise this morning and hop online. But the latest thing with Antonio Brown is, if you got a chance to read that SI piece earlier on in the week, Taz, which was a, you know, another investigative report into Antonio Brown's behavior. There was a story in that SI report about a female artist, 2017. Antonio Brown did a charity event and an auction and hosted, which is great. But at that auction, they were, you know, she had a piece and a portrait of him. He bought the portrait,
right?
For, I think it was $750, something like that. He bought the portrait, then befriended her. Asked her if she could paint a mural. Was so impressed by her work, if she could paint a mural at one of his homes, I think in Pittsburgh. She agreed. They agreed to a price. I believe it was $2,000 for her to do it. And then when she started to do the mural, I believe on the second or third day of her doing it, the sexual advancements, according to her accusation, started to the point where at one point in time he was, as she was painting the mural, he came up behind her buck naked with just a hand towel over his privates. Basically she continued to paint. She thwarted it. After she thwarted the sexual advances, her painting of the mural stopped. He paid her the $2,000, never paid her for the initial portrait, the $750. Now comes the latest and greatest. After that SI story came out, he has reportedly sent threatening text messages to her from a phone that she believes is his phone, and to the point where he has pictures of her kids, talking about how broke she is, all the like. So the attorney for this woman wrote the NFL asking to stop the conduct by Brown that she deemed as intimidating and threatening to her client in violation of the NFL personal conduct policy. So just another layer to the story surrounding Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think you laid it all out perfectly. If it was him doing it, like you said, it was his phone, so who knows? But you got to assume if it's coming from him, his phone, it's him, right? So, yeah, the whole thing's disturbing. I mean, it's just, lately there's just been a lot of disturbing stuff and accusations and stuff about Antonio Brown. I mean,
the one thing about this, that now Sports Illustrated, through their investigation, Taz, this was not a woman who came out and basically ran to Sports Illustrated with the story. She didn't. Someone told them, according to the if you read online, they basically had to convince her to tell the story. She didn't want to tell the story. Yeah. So, and now she told the story, and now she's getting threats. And so, I mean, listen, we've talked about his behavior being odd, bizarre, and we know that there's a lot of allegations out there. Right now, Taz, if I'm asking, do I think Antonio Brown's going to finish the year as a member of the New England Patriots? I would say that the odds of that happening are pretty slim.
You might be right.
Whether it be a suspension by the National Football League, where the Patriots basically saying we've had enough here. I don't know where you're going to go here, Taz, but you know, the more we go along here, the more that comes out with Antonio Brown. And if you are him, why would you, if this story is true and the text messages were sent, Taz, why on God's green earth would you ever send threatening texts to someone about a story? Why would you ever do that?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, and when I
pictures of her kids?
I know. I don't understand that. Like, it was what I was it was more, I get what you're saying, threatening. It was more intimidating texts, like text messages. But, I mean, we're splitting hairs. But, you know, unless I read it wrong, wasn't there, correct me on this if I'm wrong, it was a text chain, right? Weren't there four other numbers on it?
Correct.
Isn't that weird?
Yes, that's weird as well. Where I think he referenced somebody, Eric B.
Yeah, I don't know.
One of his buddies, I guess, asking someone.
Eric Bischoff?
Yeah,
no, joking that, around.
Right. Don't,
I'm sorry.
I don't think his name wants to be in the story.
So. No.
Eric B. to look up into her background history, Taz. I mean, that's a bad thing. Any way you cut it, Taz, it's awful.
Yeah.
And Taz, every day, it feels like every single week there's another layer to this story for Antonio Brown.
I know.
It doesn't end. It just does not end. This odd, strange, weird behavior. And not just that. I mean, you can make the argument some of the behavior is kind of criminal. I mean, it's, if these accusations are correct, it is. So, I don't know what to make of Antonio Brown. I mean, if I'm the New England Patriots, I know he's a talented wide receiver. I don't necessarily need him to win. He makes my offense more and more dynamic. When does it come a point in time where you don't want to deal with the headache?
You might be getting close to it, to the point you're making. Belichick, you know, last thing they want to deal with is distractions. And it happened as soon as he got on the team. There was distractions. And they battled through it. They kept him away from the media for a good amount there after the game, right? They hustled him onto the team bus after he showered or whatever, after the last victory and all that stuff. If you're sending these, if it's him sending these text messages, you know, calling her a super broke girl, she was so poor and all this stuff. Well, she was a struggling artist. I mean, most artists are not making a lot of money there. So if someone famous like an Antonio Brown likes their work and wants to utilize their talents and then pay them and give them some fame on social media, say, hey, you know, Jane Doe, you know, painted this of me. Look how great it is. And you tag her. Next thing you know, her Instagram followers go up, and that helps her business. Or her, you know how it works. Or her Twitter followers go up. You know, so she's probably just an artist that was just trying to, like, wow.
Oh, no doubt.
This guy's a famous guy. He's a great athlete, and he loves my work. This is awesome, you know.
Well, Taz, who doesn't want work? Regardless, you know, you, me, Mike, Pete, someone comes up and says, I want to buy a piece of your art, or could you create a piece? I mean, that's what they're there for, of course. That's what they want to do.
I know. And
she's looking to make money, not off Antonio Brown. She's looking to make money anywhere and doing what she loves to do. And, I mean, you look at this story, it is just odd behavior from a guy that has accomplished so much. And the more you read that SI story to where, you know, Antonio Brown didn't come from a lot, right? And he's made himself a lot of money. But the language and the verbiage, when you listen to that, when you look at that civil lawsuit and then you look at this SI story, Taz, it's very, very the same, pointing it out about how people are poor, are broke, or this or that, disenfranchised, whatever it might be. But we'll see exactly the fallout from there. Here was Antonio Brown yesterday, as he met with reporters. Four questions in total, I believe. Met with reporters yesterday up in Foxborough as the Pats get set to take on the Jets this Sunday. Take a listen.
Tony, is everything all right with you in the league? Are you in good standing to move forward and keep playing?
I'm super grateful to be here. I played for Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. You know, I got a lot of the offense to learn and catch up. But I'm excited and grateful to be here and to be a part of these guys.
What's it been like working with Tom?
It's been a tremendous honor. He's been here a long time, a lot of details, a lot of work ethic. Great guy to be around and just inspire everyone here.
What is your process been to kind of get used to everything as everything's going on in your life?
Well, it's football, you know. I'm grateful to play football. Every time you walk in the doors here, you know, be your best for the team. So every time I walk in here, I just want to make sure that I'm preparing to give these guys my best.
Antonio, what have you heard from the league, if anything, about your availability in the fall?
Just appreciate that question. You know, I'm just here to just focus on the ball and look forward to getting out there in the home stadium.
He's like a robot.
Being with the team.
I just like, can you get the final question here, guys? Final question.
That's the Patriot way. That's the Patriot way. Patriot cool.
Final question, guys. From the league, if anything.
That's a great question. I appreciate it. I love you and your family.
Appreciate that question.
I mean, it just, it is.
Yeah, we're not laughing at the situation.
I'm not laughing
at the situation. No, I know you're not. I'm not. I just want people. Yeah. Even I mentioned Eric Bischoff. I was just joking around. I shouldn't have done that.
Of course, of course.
I know you know.
No, I know. I know. Yeah. You know, and I was just poking fun at it. The situation's terrible. I mean, it's a god awful situation, and some of the accusations, the stories are downright disturbing. So we'll see exactly what's the next step in this as they get set to take on the Jets, Taz, as they are, what's the number, 23, I believe it is?
I think it 23, is
23 and a half point favorites.
I have 22.
You have 22. So it's 22, 23, maybe went down a point. It was high watermark, I believe it was up to 23, as Luke Falk and the Jets go up to Foxborough and take on the New England Patriots. Here's Bill Belichick, Taz, as we always enjoy his pressers week in and week out. Here's Belichick talking about the opposing head coach, Adam Gase.
You know, I think he does a terrific job. Certainly, we've had a ton of problems playing against him in the past. He's very good. Really good football coach. Does an excellent job with the team, certainly offensively, creating problems.
What about Gase, right?
Yes.
All defenses, especially ours. So, you know, that'll be a big challenge for us, just, you know, handling the, you know, the strategic aspect of the game.
What? Yeah, well, I mean, Gase did have Jets success stink. When he's down in Miami, but not this year with the Jets. I mean,
what's he talking about?
The challenge.
What's he talking about? The Kansas City Chiefs? Like, what is he
I know. Well, that's, I know. The challenge that the Patriots have is to keep his team focused. Listen, just remember when we kicked the ball off this week.
It's like, really?
Make sure you're at the stadium at 9 a.m.
No, you're right.
You know, as long as we show up, do we have, I'd walk in the locker room and go, is everyone here?
Is everybody here?
Yeah, coach, we're all here. All right, let's go play.
Yeah, it's just the Jets. No, I know. Where's Shaq Mason? He's at the concession stand. We're about to kick the ball off. He's getting some nachos. What? That's what you're dealing with.
That is the thing that the Patriots have to remain focused. And when you look at it, Taz, this week in week three of the NFL, and there are some really good matchups. I think Chiefs and Ravens, I think, is an intriguing matchup. The way Baltimore has gotten off to their start. Yeah. With Lamar Jackson throwing it. Sure. Ingram, as we've discussed, has looked very, very good running the football. Patrick Mahomes has continued and picked up off of his MVP season a year ago. I think that's probably one of the better, bigger matchups this weekend when I look at what's on the board this week for the National Football League.
I agree. I would challenge that, though, with the Texans going out to L.A. to play the Chargers.
Okay.
I think that's going to be a good game too.
I think that's a more interesting game nationally than
the most interesting game for me is the Rams on Monday night going to Cleveland.
Okay,
that to me is the most one. But as far as Sunday,
it's Sunday. That's fair about Rams and Browns. That's a good one. How about Sunday's action?
Oh, that's you're Sunday. I apologize. The Rams is Sunday.
Sunday night.
Right.
But if you look at during the day games on Sunday. You think you're more intrigued by Texans Chargers than Chiefs Ravens? I like that Chiefs Ravens matchup a little more.
I would lean towards you. I'm just saying, like, there's another that other game. You know what? Rivers is always on the chase, and with Eckler's running the ball really good for them, and you know Houston just you know they have a lot of talent, and you know they could burst out at any time. But I guess if I'm leaning towards it, I'm going to lean towards what you're saying because of the Ravens Chiefs because Pat Mahomes and what he's doing and everything that we're seeing Lamar Jackson do with the Ravens. I mean, so yeah, I think it makes for a really intriguing AFC 1 p.m. Eastern game.
And correct me if I'm wrong. I think last year against the Ravens was when Mahomes unveiled the no look pass
I don't remember that. Really?
So I think it was last year. Let's hear from the quarterbacks. Here's Jackson, who I've been dead wrong about, and I'll eat a lot of crow for that one. Lamar Jackson's been great throwing the football. I needed to see it, Taz. He's been great the first couple weeks. Here is Jackson on taking on Kansas City in a matchup this weekend.
Ravens versus Chiefs. You know, I don't really look at it like I'm competing against him. I'm competing against his defense, if anything. I depend on my defense, you know, to do a great job of stopping him. And my job is to score points. So that's what I'm going to do.
How about Mahomes taking on that Ravens D?
They have a great defense, and Earl's a great player and has been a great player for a long time. So for us, we're just going to try to do our job and move the ball down the field in whatever way possible, and hopefully we'll be able to hit some of those plays.
Now, here's the one thing I would say about Baltimore's defense, Taz, is I'd be a little concerned about their secondary. Opening week, they took on Miami. Right. Miami's a doormat, right? And they embarrassed them. And Fitzpatrick was that quarterback. Last week, they took on Arizona at home. Kyler Murray threw for over 300 yards.
Yeah, he played good. Yeah,
now they take on Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes. Even with Earl Thomas in that defensive backfield, I'd have some reservations about that Baltimore defense and that secondary being able to hold up against what Andy Reid's going to try and do, even without Hill, what Reid's going to try and do offensively with Mahomes throwing the football. I'd be a little concerned in that matchup. I think that's an intriguing one to watch.
I think you make a good point. Definitely think you make a good point. But the fun part with this game is, why I'm being sold more on this being the most intriguing, let's say Sunday day game, it's because of the quarterback matchup. And I think, Lamar Jackson said it best. He's not competing against Pat Mahomes. He's right. He's competing against the defense of the Chiefs. But you're right. That defensive backfield, like any defensive backfield, going against Patrick Mahomes can get chewed up. And there's a good chance that happens when the Chiefs battle the Ravens. And the Ravens are on the road, right? I think they are, right? Yeah,
yes.
They are.
They're in Kansas City. Kansas City.
Yeah.
1 o'clock kick out at Arrowhead Stadium. And then we're also going to see this weekend, Taz, Teddy Bridgewater. That's now his team for at least the next month and a half. Maybe a tad more, maybe the next 7 weeks, as Breeze had thumb surgery on Wednesday a couple days ago. That New Orleans team, as we've discussed, the talent around him, now they take on the challenge of going up to Seattle and taking on a Seahawks team that I'm kind of surprised is 2-0. I think Carroll's a very, very good NFL head coach. I think he's shown that. He's done a lot of winning. I think he did a remarkable job coaching that team into the postseason a year ago, Taz. I think that great coaching job has continued this year. They opened up the offense last week in Pittsburgh against the Steelers. Now they get up a Saint team that's going to have obviously a lot different look here with Bridgewater and what he can do in that offense as compared to what Breeze could do in that offense.
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, I'm like I said the other day here. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before. I can't recall, but I'm believing in Bridgewater. I think that this week of practice, he probably got a lot more confidence under him working with these starters and stuff like that, getting some flow with Kamara out of the backfield and some flow with Michael Thomas and company. I don't know, man. I kind of believe in that. And they're going to interject Taysom Hill in that deal a lot, right? Yeah. So which is going to be interesting because he's a...
Reportedly, it's going to be a split at quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, but he's also... He's excellent in the slot, as I said the other day, and he's a dynamic guy, Hill. So I don't know, man. It's going to be a hell of a game. I
think it's going to be an entertaining game. Like, you believe in Bridgewater to the point where... You don't think the offense misses a beat?
No.
Or do you believe in Bridgewater to the point that they, you would not be surprised if they won't go into Seattle and beat the Seahawks?
Right, correct. The second part. Okay. I would not be surprised. I don't think he's anywhere near the level of Drew Brees. I
mean,
that's not a knock. I hate to knock Teddy Bridgewater
like
that.
I mean, Brees is a Hall of Famer.
He is, right. He's an NFL leading passer, all time right now. So he's the man. I mean, but I do think Bridgewater knows how to win football games. I think... He's far from a rook. He's a veteran. He knows what he's doing. He's been through a lot in his career with that knee injury when he was with the Vikings and stuff like that and how he battled back from that. I don't know. My gut tells me I like him against Seattle in Seattle this week. I just feel like he's going
to
play well.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see. I hope you're right. I think he's an easy guy to root for.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to play up there in Seattle as the 12s are absolutely ravenous. There's no doubt. We'll continue to run around the league. We'll head out to Los Angeles, talk a little Chargers and Texans, and preview of Daniel Jones. Talk about young signal callers in the NFL. He gets his first start down there in Tampa against the Buccaneers for Big Blue and the Giants.
And also a first coming up here at the top of the hour on Taz and the Moose.
No doubt. Yeah, we're a record-breaking show, a first for our show.
And then if you want to call the show, 855-212-4227. Give us your thoughts on what's coming up here Sunday with the NFL and stuff like that.
Right, reaction to the Thursday night game, the latest with Antonio Brown, Cam Newton. How concerned are you, a Carolina fan? So many intriguing storylines across the National Football League. We got college picks coming your way a little later on in the program. NFL picks as well, as I've got to rally a little bit, as Taz has the lead in both those selections.
Uh-huh.
But Today is the day the rally will begin. Taz, Moose, on a Friday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Sunday, NFL on CBS doubleheader. First, Mahomes and the Chiefs open their 2019 home schedule against Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. Game we were just chatting about. Then Bridgewater and the Saints, we were just chatting about that as well. Head up north to Seattle for a late afternoon showdown with the Seahawks. A full day of football starts with JB and the guys on the NFL Today on CBS. We'll get into a little bit of the Sunday night affair, which is an intriguing one. Rams and Browns, and certainly the Chargers game, as they get set to entertain the Houston Texans out there in Los Angeles, California. What's going on, Andrew? Good morning.
Oh, hey, Moose.
How's everything?
Things are good. How are you?
Things are very, very well.
It's Donut Friday outside.
I saw you walking in.
Yeah.
I thought it was like a pizza pie from afar, and then I realized it was Dunkin' Donuts.
Although that would be delicious right now, too.
Get a lot of Boston creams?
No. I got one.
I was over there.
One
Boston cream. I'll tell you what's going on. I can tell you. I was just there. I'll tell you what's going on. I just looked at the box.
Right.
And I want to say thank you, Andrew. I did take a quarter piece.
Because you're a gentleman.
Of a pumpkin donut. Because I do like all things pumpkin.
Right.
And this is the time of year where I'm bursting with joy because it's pumpkin stuff. I'm going to say something else everywhere. But there's no Boston cream. You said Boston cream?
I did, correct.
There's one jelly donut.
Yes, thank you.
Right? I didn't touch that. I think there is one Boston cream.
There is. I forget how much demand there is for Boston cream. Next time, there'll be multiple.
There's no demand. There's one guy who loves the Boston cream.
You just go in and ask for do you ask for specific donuts or you just say spread the wealth?
Yeah, no, I pick because I wouldn't trust anyone to pick my donuts.
No so. French cruller?
No, we didn't. I didn't go cruller this
powdered?
Time. Powdered? Because you know what? There was a powdered in there.
Oh, okay.
But I went deep, heavy on the fall. I got two pumpkin and two apple cider.
Oh, very nice.
Okay, well, here's the update.
Apple cider new from Dunkin'?
It is, at least here.
I'm just talking to myself.
Yeah. No.
I'm trying to give you the update of what's going on in the friggin' box, bro. So I didn't see any more apple cider. I know Billy really annoyed me because he ate the one. You bought some kind of a blueberry gimmick.
There were two of those, yeah.
Yeah, he
blueberry
ate them both.
Blueberry cake?
Yeah, he ate
right,
both.
Correct, blueberry cake.
Yeah, those are great.
He ate them both.
My dad's favorite. Well, those are fantastic.
I've never had them. I've been hearing about it. I wanted to try it.
They
blueberry
are delicious.
Cake is a great donut.
Yeah.
Gonski. Okay, they're
great
not
with
there.
A nice hot cup of coffee.
Yeah, well, there's none of that. There are the chocolate covered with the sprinkles stuff on it.
Yeah.
That's in there. No one touched. That's played out. No one cares about that. That's like the lazy man donut.
Those are my kids' favorites.
Well, most adults don't. Little kids love them. But anyway.
We have a lot of little kids here.
Yeah, strawberry frost is yummy.
That's not bad, but that's a rarity. But vanilla. So, there is rarity. One Boston cream. You said Boston cream, right, Moose?
Yeah. Yes, correct. Yes.
I want to make sure I'm paying attention to you. There is one in there. Hopefully it's still there for you, because I didn't touch it. I was a gentleman. I know
no,
you like them.
I'm good.
So, I didn't touch it. I took a quarter.
No, last time you ate it on purpose.
I did.
Yeah, specifically if that's Malusis's favorite, and then you ate it.
I ate it.
At your desk, he ate
it.
House
ate it. Yeah, right.
Yes, and so if you want a three-quarter piece of a pumpkin donut, I left that in there.
No, I'll pass on that one. Okay. Thank you, though.
No problem.
Thank you, though. But pumpkin donuts are delicious. If there was a blueberry, then I'd be all in.
Oh, you got to talk to Billy. Baby Billy, who used to have a beard.
Maybe Billy double-stacked them.
Dude, I don't know, but he's going to say he ate one. That's a load of BS. He ate both. He's the only one out there.
But
good
he needs
Billy.
It. He needs it. He's so small.
He's 140 pounds soaking wet with a brick in his pocket.
And he
problem.
Needs that beard back ASAP.
I mean that in a good way.
So top of the hour, we have something coming.
It's a special. It's
right.
Just a special thing.
So
tell us, Moose.
Well, we have someone warming up out in the newsroom, correct?
Well, yeah.
I mean, yes.
That's what I was, yeah. Well, yeah, the thing is, Zach is going to do a live three.
Nice.
Yeah, he's going to do that.
Thank you.
So I was going to ask Andrew if there's any truth to the rumor. There's a rumor that Zach is warming up in newsroom.
Well, I was going to ask Andrew, how is he warming up?
Yeah. So.
I'm sorry. Yeah, no, it's okay. Go ahead. How is he warming up?
He is warming up, although I wasn't sure what was happening at first. This is a room full of weird noises. You guys discuss construction. You know, outside here, there's construction noises some mornings.
This room.
Oh, no. The whole compound.
There's the drilling and the jackhammer.
Weird things sometimes.
Right. Sucks here. Right.
Yeah,
sucks.
It's very offensive to the senses at times.
Yes.
So I hear this odd, almost angelic noise this morning, thinking maybe somebody's celebrating my donut choice, but no, it's like, Zach's in his room,
la,
like basically doing Kermit-like exercises for the pipes.
Such a large man,
but dainty.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard? So Zach was warm. Have you ever heard Harris warm up?
No, I actually have missed that.
Oh, Harris stuff does. Legend. Harris does not do the whole opera like that. He'll just go.
That's weird.
And then I'll, yes, I swear to God, I worked with him for overnights for 10 years. So before his first update, I think his first update is what, midnight or is it 12:20, whatever it is, I forget now. But first update locally on WFAN in New York, he does that whole thing the studio while the commercials are playing up. He'll do that whole like kind of voice warming up kind of a deal right before he delivers. Now only does it once, does not do it before every single update, but does it before the first one. So maybe I was just curious if maybe he had a battle between Harris and Zach, because Harris loves to hang out.
Sounds like seven on this show.
He was down. Harris is done at 5:40 in the morning. Sometimes he's napping in his chair at 7:20 in the morning for some odd reason. Well, he just loves to
terrifying.
Hang out. It would be great to have a warm-up battle between Zach and Harris.
I have a question for you, Moose.
Yeah.
So when you worked with him in the overnights that he was doing that, was he just doing it organically to warm up, or will he do it on command? Like if you say, hey, do that warm-up thing you do.
I've never asked him to do it on command, but I would imagine that Harris would play along.
I think you could tell where I'm going with this.
Yeah, no, I know. Like a battle.
Yeah, a little battle.
A little warm-up
battle. The Sharks move on.
NFL trades Dust Beggins to Seattle.
Yeah.
I love it. I love
the what
it.
Does what to Seattle?
That was just tremendous.
Yeah. NFL trades Dust Beggins to Seattle.
NFL trades begin.
Hey, what was that? The Harris one you played? Someone Sharks. You had Harris Allen, didn't you?
The Sharks move on.
But what we would have to have happen
is, he's got pipes, that guy.
We'd have to have Mike would have to go up to Zach and go up to Harris and just go and basically say, can we tape you, record you, and not tell him what it is in terms of how you warm your voice up before you start to record.
Harris is a good guy. He'll do it.
Oh, Harris will do it. Yeah. I mean, Harris will do it. Yeah, and I'm sure Zach will do it. Yeah, and then we grade it out here on Taz and the Moose.
Good idea. You know, Moose, it's very rare, you know me, that I have conversations with anyone outside of the studio.
Mm.
And never in the newsroom. I don't talk to anyone. But I actually had a conversation yesterday no one here knows about with Harris Allen.
Mm. Oh, we knew.
Yeah. And basically it was this. Hey, Harris. This is me, Taz. Hey, Harris. Hey, Taz. I go, no, it'd be nice if we had an omelet station here. And he goes, that'd be great. That was it.
Oh.
So.
Very.
Yeah, it was awesome. So that's the extent
move
of
on.
Harris has a podcast. That conversation
really?
Made his podcast.
Hold
that's where I heard
podcast?
It. Yeah.
Wow, everyone's got a podcast, Moose. It's unbelievable.
They do.
Oh, my
they
God.
They do. Everyone. So Zach's going to be here. He's the voice.
He's called Baseball Drives.
He's warming up. No, yeah. His voice is warming up, and he'll be here at the top of the hour.
Strangled Testicle.
Old Zach Martin.
Is that what Harris is called? The podcast?
Yes.
No, so he's going to be here live.
That's it.
It's going to be great.
I can grab a little Zach now, get him
warming
up.
Radio.com, Apple Podcast. Check
you want to see, you're going to get Zach warming up?
I can try to get him now warming up, tweet it out.
I thought I saw him walk by with no shirt off.
No, we got to do it. We got to do the battle.
That's a whole different thing.
Get a shirt off.
You got to tape Zach and then tape Harris. We got to do it right. You can't tweet out Zach warming up because then maybe Harris will see it.
That's fair.
You got to loosen up your lips.
Yes.
Disgusting.
Tell Zach keep his shirt on this time. I know he likes to do these updates with no shirt. That's the rumor. Yeah. Mike told me that he does the three voiceover. He does it shirtless in the studio. Yeah, that's what I heard.
That's a scene.
It's not sexy.
That's a scene.
Like gross.
What's going on, Andrew? How you doing, buddy?
You want me to talk after that?
Yes, yeah.
Anything
going on?
A couple of things.
Oh,
it's all
God.
Sponsored by the National Association of Realtors. Realtors do more than buy and sell homes. They stand up for your right to own one, too. That is what realtors do. His mustache and his right arm on full display early on Thursday Night Football.
Shotgun, two left, one right for Gardner Minshew. He drops the throw, four-man rush. Fires toward the end zone, wants D.D. Chark in the corner of the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Chark attack. And Jacksonville has extended the lead.
Frank Frangie on Jags Radio, second TD pass of the opening quarter from rookie Gardner Minshew. Oddly enough, just the third time in the last five seasons that Jacksonville took a 14-point lead in the first quarter of a game. They eventually beat the Titans 27 on a stormy night in Florida. For the Titans, Marcus
Mariota
sacked nine times, three of them by Calais Campbell. Both these AFC South teams are now 1-2. While they were playing, the lawyer for the woman who says Antonio Brown made unwanted sexual advances in 2017 said the Patriots receiver sent intimidating texts this week in response to SI publishing the woman's claims. SI able to confirm the messages came from a number Brown has used in the past. His lawyer declined comment last night. And then there's Yankee righty Domingo Germán. He may have slapped his girlfriend in public during an argument earlier this week. Germán is now on baseball's administrative leave while the league investigates a decision on possible punishment expected before the postseason. The Yankees clinched the AL East last night, 9-1 over the Angels. It is their first division title since 2012. The Twins rallied past the Royals 8-5 to maintain their four-game lead atop the AL Central. Cleveland blanked Detroit last night 7-0. They're now tied with idle Tampa Bay for the second AL wild card.
Might be a perfect time, real quick, Andrew, for me to jump in with a social media update. This is a playoff of the donut conversation, the Moose. This is from William Candry, but his name is William K. Patrick. Go figure that out. Best blueberry donuts in the U.S. at White House FF. Don't waste your time on any other. So he plugged this farm that's in Ohio.
Oh, nice. I'm sure it's got to be delicious. Farm fresh donut. Awesome.
Mike, is that in your delivery range or no?
Oh, wow. See,
no.
There you go.
No, okay.
Apple cider donuts, like from a real like apple orchard,
yes.
Are amazing.
Best.
Yeah,
that's the best.
Great. Apple pie, that all that stuff, but the apple cider donut. I'm sure the blueberry donuts are delicious.
I know. This guy's going off.
I'm sure they're not as good as Dunkin' Donuts.
No.
But they are. Yeah. That is a great thing. I love that.
Yeah, I like that too. You done, Andrew?
Sure, why not? See you guys next time.
All right, pal. Great best. Job.
Well, thank you.
Well done.
Awesome.
All right, we got college picks coming your way. Big weekend in college football.
I'm not ready.
No, that's coming up after the break. It's called the tease and the biz. We'll do that next. Good weekend of college football as week four is upon us. Better than week three in the matchups we saw a week ago. So should be a good one from soup to nuts starting at high noon Eastern time tomorrow afternoon. We'll get into them. I got three picks. Taz has got three picks. I need to rally a little bit. Taz, hot as a firecracker early on in this season. We'll get into that next. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Great music. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. All right. College picks time. Week four of the college football landscape. Taz 5-3-1. 2-1 a week ago. I was 2-1 a week ago as well. 5-4 on the season. So Taz with a half-game lead as we head into the fourth college football Saturday here in 2019. Let's get to it. Some college football picks.
The Taz and Moose picks are for fun only. This is not for gambling purposes, just some chuckles and a good time. Enjoy the Taz and Moose picks now. Listen irresponsibly.
It's now time for the Taz and Moose college football picks. The three picks you need to know.
All right, good weekend, Taz. When you look at the college football landscape, you got Oregon, Stanford, which I'm intrigued by, with the Ducks being the 16th ranked team in the land. I mean, the weekend's pretty much highlighted by a battle of two top 10 teams down in Athens between the hedges as Georgia and Notre Dame battle it out as well. So you have the lead, my friend. So you would like to go first, or you want me to go first?
Dealer's choice. I'm gonna go first. I guess unless you want to go first, I don't care. It's up to you. You want to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay,
I'm gonna go. All right, I'm gonna start there, Taz. I'm gonna start with the game that's gonna kick off down in Georgia, and that's 7th ranked Notre Dame taking on the 3rd ranked Georgia Bulldogs. Bulldogs are a 14.5 point favorite. And I'm going to lay the 14.5, and I'm going to take Georgia for a couple of different reasons. Number one, the Irish, you look at through their first few games here, that defense, Taz, has given up over 230 yards on the ground rushing against their opponents. Now, you look at the Georgia Bulldogs. Here's what you love by Georgia. And, yes, DeAndre Swift's a talented running back. There's no doubt. Georgia's had five different running backs this year that have totaled over 100 yards on the ground. And those running backs have given you 10 touchdowns on the ground as well. So Georgia's been very, very good. Kirby Smart's team is on a roll here in terms of double-digit victories as well. And I really think, I don't think Ian Book, the Irish quarterback, I don't think Ian Book is going to be able to keep up. I don't think the speed of Georgia, of Notre Dame, is good enough against the speed of the Georgia Bulldogs. I think the Irish can maybe hang in there for a half. I think it's going to be too much Fromm, too much Swift, those other talented running backs for the Georgia Bulldogs. I know it's a big number. Irish are 2-4 against top 10 teams on the road during the run of Brian Kelly here. I think there's a differentiation between Georgia and Notre Dame talent-wise. I'm going to take the Bulldogs. It's a big number between the hedges down in Athens on Saturday night. I'm going to take the Bulldogs, and I'm going to lay the 14.5.
All right, same game I had, actually, coincidentally enough. And for those that are new to our program, Moose and I never discuss what we're going to pick or who we're going to pick. So nope. we never so it's more organic on the air. I actually, this is one of the games I'm picking, too, Notre Dame versus Georgia, but I'm going the opposite way. I'm going to take the 14.5. I'm taking Notre Dame.
Listen,
you laid it out perfectly, and you make a plethora of sense. I'm a big believer in Jake Fromm. I think he's great. I know DeAndre Swift, how awesome he is. I mean, and this guy could have a day, no doubt. Swift could run up and down on the Irish, for sure. I just feel like it is a big number. I think Ian Book's a gamer. I think he's a tough kid. I understand that they're playing in Athens. They're playing at Georgia's home. I get it. I know how tough the Bulldogs are at home. I don't know, man. That's a lot of points. Notre Dame is ranked 7th in the country, as Georgia's ranked 3. You give a number seventh team in the country 14.5 points. I got to take those 14. So I'm going to take Notre Dame plus 14.5.
Yeah, I've been burned. Maybe it's a case of I've been burned by the Irish in these kind of games before,
right?
Especially during the bowl system, where I backed the Irish and. And then it became abundantly clear that I was on the wrong side of things. So I'm going to let the Irish beat me on Saturday night. And maybe they do. Maybe I should have stuck with them for another game. But I'm going to take the Bulldogs. I'll lay the 14.5. But I can understand why you decide to take the Irish plus the points. All right, my next game. Let's head out to Palo Alto and Stanford as they get set to host the 16th-ranked Oregon Ducks. Oregon 2-1 on the season. Stanford, Taz, off not to a rip-roaring start. They're 1-2. Now, you remember the game a year ago, and it was up in Oregon. The Ducks jumped out on top of Stanford and collapsed in the second half, scoring just 7 points in half number two. And Stanford was able to come back and win that game 38-31. The Cardinal have won the last three times they've taken on Oregon. I think there's a little bit of a revenge factor here for the Ducks. You look at Justin Herbert, Taz. He's kind of the college quarterback that has all kinds of NFL aspirations that's forgotten about. We've talked about everybody else besides Herbert that opening week when they fell short against the Auburn Tigers. He's been great this year. He's completing nearly 77% of his passes, 11 touchdowns, no interceptions. You look at that Stanford offense, they've struggled running the football. They've struggled throwing the football. I think this is a game that Oregon has circled ever since they collapsed second half last year up in Eugene, Oregon. I'm going to lay the 10.5. I know it's a lot on the road, but I'm going to lay the 10.5. I'm going to take the 16th-ranked Oregon Ducks to beat Stanford by a couple touchdowns. I think Herbert has himself a game, and this is not a great Stanford team. Give me Oregon, lay the 10.5. That's game two for me.
All right, cool. So we got a 12 p.m. Eastern game. We got Cal. Okay, Cal Bears, they're going on the road. They're going to Austin, Mississippi to play Ole Miss. Cal comes in this ding here, ranked number 23 in the country, where Ole Miss is unranked. But yet Cal, they're plus 2.5. I mean, because they're on the road. Ole Miss is home. Cal comes in this thing here 3-0. As Ole Miss is 2-1, I gotta tell you, I'm gonna take Cal. I think the Bears are real good. I'm gonna take Cal and the 2.5. I feel like they're just a better team than Ole Miss. I understand they're super tough at home. Is Ole Miss? I know that. I understand the history, the tradition of Ole Miss, but you know, for me, looking at Brown, who's just a hell of a running back, and I think he's gonna kick ass for sure. He's an underrated player. I don't know. I just feel like Cal's gonna with 2.5. You have 2.5 too, right? Because I saw two different numbers. Okay, good. I'm not sure.
We're in stride.
I'm taking Cal on the road plus 2.5.
All right, I'm Mr. Pac-12 outside of Notre Dame and Georgia. Nice. I'm going to go to another Pac-12 game.
I know what you're going to say.
I'm going to go out to Washington. And Washington State, 16th ranked Washington State. I should say 19th ranked Washington State. They're entertaining UCLA, Taz, and Chip Kelly's had a hell of a time trying to reestablish himself in the college game here. Now, the recruiting services will tell you, you know, he doesn't have his style of player there yet. It's a lot of Mora's guys and the like. That's fine, but still, they've not given you a representable performance. Now, the latest Washington State quarterback in that air raid offense for Mike Leach, who gives you entertaining pressers every single week, is Anthony Gordon. Now, he's averaging 420 yards through the air for Washington State. Now, you look at it, and here's where this one screams matchup, and I'll take Washington State all day. Look at that UCLA defense, Taz. They're giving up, on average, in the college game, mind you, 280 yards per game.
Mm.
Now, to me, that screams mismatch. UCLA's 0-3. Washington State is 3-0. That, you know, the Cougar defense has played very well this year. I think they're top 40 in the nation. That usually doesn't come hand-in-hand with a Mike Leach team. It's usually all about the offense. I'm going to take Gordon. I'm going to take Washington State. They're home. It's a big number. I'll lay the 18.5. I think they dismantle UCLA. I've not seen much pulse from the Bruins. As I mentioned, Kelly's struggled here. I'm going to take Washington State. I'll lay the 18.5. That's pick three for me.
I like that pick. I like that pick. We're going on night game, a little Saturday night action, 10 p.m. Eastern, at Sun Devil Stadium, I should say, in Tempe, Arizona, as the Sun Devils, Arizona State, host the Colorado Buffs, the Buffaloes. So Colorado, I should say, comes in at 2-1, where Arizona State, they're coming in at 3-0, and they are ranked number 24 in the country as Arizona State, where the Buffaloes are unranked. And, you know, Herm Edwards, I got to say, his team's sitting 3-0. I'm a big fan of Herm Edwards, always been. And I think he does a great job with this Sun Devil squad for sure. He's got a real good QB in Daniels and stuff like that. They are at home. Sun Devils are minus 8.5. That all being said about Herm Edwards and his quarterback Daniels, I got to tell you, I like the Buffaloes in this thing.
There you go.
On the road. I do like the Buffaloes. I'm going to take my 8.5. You know, they got that kid Montez, a real good QB. For not, I think that's how you say his last name. The running back's really, really good running back. You know, so I mean, I don't know. I just like the Buffs this thing.
A little bit of a come down after the Michigan State victory.
Correct, and they're averaging over 36 points a game is Colorado. So, you know, where Arizona State's only averaging a little bit over 19. So I don't know.
You like Colorado win outright or just cover?
Cover.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's it. That's my deal.
There you go. I like that pick. Yeah, I can see that. Good. I mean, in Arizona State, that was a hell of a win a week ago in Michigan State.
Yeah,
I mean, anywhere to go. When you go to East Lansing and you beat the Spartans and you're Herm Edwards, Herm Edwards, who joined us last year during the college football season, he's done a great job with that Arizona State program.
He really has. He really has. I'm a big fan of his, and I think he does a good job. You know, a lot of people were knocking him. Remember when he went in there? I felt like, listen, man, he was coaching the Under Armour team for a couple of years, which is all the better high school players that are getting ready to go into college. So he had a little connectivity with a lot of those kids anyway, and they liked him. You know, he's a spirited guy, and I don't know. I think kids connect to him. You know.
Yeah, I think you're right in terms of that energy, Taz. He plays a lot younger than he is. The one thing though is it's much different in terms of, I mean, he even hinted upon this when we interviewed him, the work that it takes.
Yeah.
The recruiting, looking ahead,
nonstop.
Yeah. If you're a college football head coach. So here are your three picks in recap. I'm going Georgia, laying the 14. I'm heavy on the favorites this week. I'm going Georgia, laying the 14.5. Washington State, laying 18.5 against UCLA. And Oregon, laying 10.5 on the road in Stanford. Those are my three selections, week four college football.
Yes, sir. And I'm taking Notre Dame. Excuse me. I'm taking Notre Dame plus 14.5 against those Bulldogs in Athens. I'm taking Cal plus 2.5 over Ole Miss on the road. I think Cal ends up 4-0, but I'll take those 2.5 also. And I am going to take the Buffaloes to cover and take out the Sun Devils in Tempe. So there you go.
Your six picks.
Tempe.
Your six picks here. Three Tempe. Apiece for Taz and myself, week four college football. And it'll be a good one. I'm really looking forward to Notre Dame and and Georgia on Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern time. I think that's going to be a fun, entertaining game. You got two top 10 teams, Taz.
Yeah.
Georgia with national championship aspirations. They're looking to take care of business. And Notre Dame continuing to try and take those next steps in legitimacy in college football.
Yes, sir. We got a live three coming up with the voice of the three. They call him Martin. We call him Zach. Zach Martin. Yes, sir.
That is next. Taz moves on a Friday. CBS Sports Radio.